Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and you know what that means. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something you heard in church last weekend, you're still scratching your head wondering about it, then let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. We're looking at three open lines right now, and that means plenty of room for you with very little wait. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but it's been a while, and you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, three open lines, 877-655-6755. Well, just a reminder, we are listener supported. If you love what we're about, you want to see this program reach even more people, well, you can join our support team and help us make that happen at andrewfarley.org. We're a nonprofit Christian media ministry. And so your gift in Canada or in the United States is tax deductible. You can go to the website, andrewfarley.org, click on the donate tab there. It takes just a couple of minutes to partner with us. And let me tell you, it means the world to me personally every time one of our listeners becomes part of our support team. It opens up all kinds of new doors as we face these amazing invitations every single month to grow and expand and reach more people through radio and online platforms and digital mobile apps, all kinds of ways. And we can't do it without you. So if you're excited about the content of this broadcast, if you're excited about what we communicate in this ministry, the love and grace of God, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and our new identity in Him, we invite you to be a part of our support team. You can do so at andrewfarley.org. That's the donate tab at andrewfarley.org. All right, well, let's start out in Colorado Springs, and we'll talk with Trudy. Hey, Trudy.
Hi there, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I heard something at Bible study, a women's Bible study recently, that has me kind of flummoxed, something theological. The Bible study teacher said, I was sanctified, I am being sanctified, I will be sanctified. And I don't know what she means by that. Could you enlighten me?
Sure. That's interesting. I would say that... Well, it's correct in one sense, and then I think there's a lot worth talking about there, Trudy. First, as far as having been sanctified, that means set apart. The word sanctify is the same as the word holy, or they carry the same root. So to be sanctified is to be holified, if you will. It is also meaning to be set apart for a purpose or reserved for God. So that's what sanctification is. Unfortunately, today, we have sort of made it into some sort of progressive getting cleaned up for God, or we've made it synonymous with growth, and that's not always the case. So let's take a journey through a few scriptures here, Trudy. The first one I want to call your attention to is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verse 11. It says, such were some of you, talking about their past before they knew the Lord, such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So I want you to notice there that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is saying that three things happened to you and me when we were saved. When we were born again, it says we were washed, sanctified, and justified. Now, in a lot of popular theology today, you will hear, oh, you have been justified, but you will be sanctified. That's not what this verse is saying. In fact, this verse is saying the opposite. It's saying you were washed, and at the exact same time, you were sanctified, and at the exact same time, you were justified. So you were made right, you were cleansed, and you were set apart all at the same time at salvation. So if we understand that being sanctified is simply being reserved for God, it makes sense that this is in past tense. Why? Because you fully belong to God. It's not half of you that belongs to God. It's not some fraction of you that belongs to God. You're not partly a saint. You are a saint through and through. A child of God, born of the Spirit, born again, raised and seated in heavenly places, a person of God's own possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. These sort of statements are true about you because God transformed you at salvation. So that's why 1 Corinthians 6:11 says you were sanctified. In other words, you were made holy, you were set apart. Now, we see the very same thing, Trudy, in the book of Hebrews, right there in the 10th chapter. It says this, it says that we have been sanctified. Now, you say, what in the world does that mean? Well, in the book of Hebrews, it means the same exact thing, that we've been set apart. And so it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, by that will we have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So you were set apart once for all time. You were sanctified once for all time. You were made holy once for all time. So you're not getting more holy. I mean, if Jesus were to return for you tomorrow, or today, or in this instant, you would be as holy as you ever needed to be in order to enter heaven. In other words, you're heaven ready. So let's talk about why there's so much confusion. It seems like there's a second kind of sanctification in the Bible, and we need to make an account for that. In other words, Peter says, be holy or be sanctified in all your behavior. So that's your behavior. That's your attitudes and your actions. What does that mean? It means set them apart. Your attitudes are not all set apart for God. Your actions are not all set apart for God. Sometimes we think the wrong things. Sometimes we do the wrong things. Those things are not set apart. They're not holy. They're not sanctified. Anytime we commit a sin, that's not sanctified. Anytime we walk after the flesh, that's not sanctified. Are you sanctified? Well, yes, you are. We already read that in both 1 Corinthians and in Hebrews 10. You are sanctified, fully set apart, but all of your behavior is not yet. So I believe it's really important to separate who we are from what we do. And yet there is a popular theology today, Trudy, the idea that you are being made holy, the idea that you are slowly getting cleaned up, the idea that you're slowly getting set apart for God. How does that happen? It happens when we conflate, when we mash together these two biblical ideas. We start pushing together me and my behavior, me and my performance. And when we do, then people start teaching one kind of sanctification, calling it progressive. You are slowly getting better. God is slowly getting more pleased with you. You are slowly getting more reserved for God. And then we might even use an analogy like, oh, there are many rooms in your heart, Trudy. And God is like a janitor, and he's coming through each room, and he's sweeping his way, mopping his way through each room. And little by little, you are starting to belong to God. You are being sanctified. Well, that is a bad analogy, although it might be fun to use it. It's not an accurate picture of your heart. The Bible says God took out your heart of stone. He gave you a new heart. Romans 6 says it's an obedient heart. Romans also says you were crucified and buried. Your old self is dead and gone. And you're a new self. You're a new creation. So yes, we're getting our minds renewed. Yes, we're learning and we're growing. Yes, our attitudes are being set apart. But you, as a person, fully belong to God. You are fully set apart. You have been sanctified. So we need to allow for these two different kinds of sanctification. You as a child of God, fully set apart for God, and yet your attitudes and actions are in progress. So do I agree with what you were taught? Well, not exactly. I'm seeing it a little differently here. It sounds to me like if someone says, you have been sanctified, but you are also being sanctified, and you will also one day be sanctified, that's a bit of doublespeak. In other words, they can't all be true. Either you have been sanctified or not. It's got to be one or the other. Now, if we talk plainly in biblical language, this all comes together and makes sense. I can say to you, Trudy, you're heaven ready. You belong to God. He possesses you. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of Him. You are born from above. You belong in the family all the way. You are His. And when He returns for you, you are 100% heaven ready. And then in the next breath, I can say, Trudy, you're still learning and growing. Your mind is still being renewed. Your attitudes and actions are still being set apart. But don't worry. You don't have to be grown up enough. When Jesus returns, you are heaven ready, fully sanctified, fully set apart as His child. So, Trudy, I want to put you back on and see if that helps. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, because she said that in response to my saying that I was righteous. After talking to you last time, I called about being seen as righteous. Yes. And I said, I'm not just seen as righteous, I am righteous. And her response was that, I was sanctified, I am being sanctified. And she told me that I was confusing sanctification with righteousness.
Justification. Yes, right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very common thing to say. And I think the best response to that is literally to say, well, let's talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And let's also talk about Hebrews 10:10. Because what she's trying to say to you is that you're not fully grown up. That's what she really wants to say or needs to say. She's trying to say, you're not fully grown. You don't know everything. Your mind is still being renewed. And you can build a bridge there. You can agree with her and be a peacemaker in that sense by saying, yes, I agree that we're learning and we're growing and my mind is being renewed. But if we're going to get technical, if we're going to get specific, if we're going to get exact about this word sanctified, then let's take a little visit to Hebrews 10:10, where it says we have been sanctified. Let's take a little visit to 1 Corinthians 6, where it says we have been sanctified. And let's account for those passages and understand that I don't have to worry about whether I really am set apart for God or not. I belong to Him all the way. Even though a child is learning and growing, you know, when I was 7 years old, I was a Farley. Now, I wasn't 50% Farley. I was 100% Farley through and through. I mean, I had the DNA of Farley. I had my dad's jaw and my mom's nose and some characteristics from both of them in my personality. And yet I was learning and I was growing. And at the same time, I was 100% Farley. You could say that I was set apart all the way as a Farley, even though I was learning and growing in my understanding. You could look at it like an oak tree. Well, when an oak tree is literally just 1 month or 2 months old, it's a little sapling there, it's not getting oakier. It's not getting any more oaky, is it? It's learning and it's growing, but the nature of the oak is fully there. And so it is with us being children of God, with us being partakers of a divine nature, with us being born of imperishable seed, with us being united with Christ and in God's family and children of God. We're fully set apart, we fully belong, we have been sanctified, and yet our attitudes and actions, that is what is in progress. But see, those are not the same, are they? If you were the sum total of your attitudes and actions, then that would be a works-based righteousness, that would be a works-based sanctification, and that's not the gospel. That's why we must keep these separate, so that you understand that in every moment of every day, you are fully acceptable and loved and embraced by God as a person who belongs in the family all the way, and yet you're learning and growing. So, Trudy, I hope that helps. Perhaps crack open the Bible to 1 Corinthians 6 and to Hebrews 10:10 and see if that helps as you communicate with your Bible study leader there. And perhaps you'll be able to build some bridges and maybe, just maybe, they'll consider this perspective. Reach out to us again anytime. Let's go to Louisiana now and we'll talk with Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey. How are you?
Hey, good. What's on your mind tonight, Mark?
Well, I am actually the Sunday school teacher, and I had a question. We're migrating through 1 Corinthians right now, and we're in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're at 34-35, where Paul begins to address to the church of Corinth the concept of post-death and what our bodies were going to look like and you know, what we're going to experience. And I've done a lot of research this week, and I just get a lot of conflicting information on the question. I wanted just to get your viewpoint on this idea of it's obvious that we'll be able to recognize each other in heaven. We're going to have similar characteristics, but will we be male, female, or will it be more, you know, more like the angels? You know, I'm just a little... I find a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions. I just wanted to get your opinion
on that. Yeah, a great question. You know, there's a bit of mystery to this, but I think we can put some pieces together. Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, was mistaken for being the gardener. And so, you know, you say, well, why would that be? Well, apparently, in his resurrection state, he had two arms, two legs, a head, and he seemed to be a male, and he seemed to be the gardener. He was not mistook for being an alien. He was not mistook for looking weird. He was instead seen to be a familiar face or a familiar person. That would be the person filling that role and taking care of the area as a gardener. So why do I bring that up? Well, first, our resurrection bodies look very human. They don't look abnormal. They will look and feel normal to us. Why is that? Well, because God is our creator, our designer. We were designed to always have a body, whether it be this fallen one or a resurrection human body. It is indeed a human body resurrected. So, keeping that in mind, then you say, well, you know, people were asked, if someone had this many spouses in this life, who will they be married to in heaven? And Jesus says, nobody. There is no marriage in heaven. You don't need it. You're not looking for some other person to meet needs in heaven. All your needs are met. Do we fully understand that? No, I guess we're waiting for it and we'll be surprised by it, wowed by it, awed by it. But it is indeed the truth of the matter, that all of our needs will be met in Christ Jesus, including our physical needs. You look at Jesus walking through walls. You look at him ascending into heaven. So clearly, this physical body, this new resurrection human body that we have, will be similar and yet very different. As far as sexual organs, who knows? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know there's no mating, there's no marriage, there's no procreation. So we can leave the rest of it up to the imagination there. But Jesus very clearly says that they are not given in marriage, they are not married. And so when you take that into account, then you realize, all right, we've got a different situation in heaven. Matthew 22 says, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. So there's no reason to believe that angels have sexual organs. They do not procreate, despite what you might have heard as people twist the meaning in Genesis about the Nephilim, saying that maybe, just maybe, they're angel babies. Maybe angels or demons came out of the spiritual realm and had sexual relations with women. It couldn't be further from the truth. The reality is that in that passage in Genesis, what we're really seeing is human beings coming down from a high place, like a mountaintop or hilltop, having relations with people who reside in a lower place, meaning a valley. And people have twisted that. So the bottom line is, angels do not procreate, demons do not procreate, we do not procreate in heaven. There is no marriage, no giving in marriage. And therefore, it is quite likely that we would not have, or at least need, sexual organs in heaven with our resurrected body. They won't be missed. I know. It's hard to believe that, isn't it, gentlemen? But they won't be missed. Thanks, Mark, for your question. Reach out to us again anytime. All right, let's go to St. Catherine's for our last call. We'll talk with Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good day. How we doing?
Hey, good, good. What do you got for us, Mike?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out titles here. Lucifer was before the fall.
Yeah.
Satan was after the fall. Why would his name be Satan in the Garden of Eden?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would put a lot of theology into the two names. I mean, there's no actual verse in the Bible that literally says Lucifer is Satan, but an examination of all the passages, you look and you see in Isaiah 14, you see the fall of Lucifer, and it's the same sort of fall that Jesus talks about in the 10th chapter of Luke. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So you can also pop over to Ezekiel and find in the 28th chapter that the same sort of fall is described. So sometimes he's called Lucifer, sometimes he's referred to as Satan. And Lucifer means morning star, this naming of him is not really the central thing that we need to know. I guess perhaps whether you call him Lucifer, whether you call him Satan, what you need to know is that he's toothless, that he's nothing more than a fallen angel cast out of heaven because of his arrogance and his rebellion against God, seeking to sort of draw a ring around himself and call himself Lord of that ring and call his own shots and be his own master. And that's what his rebellion looked like. And then, of course, he went about deceiving the first humans, they too rebelling. And in both cases, here was the lie: God is holding out on me. God's best is not enough for me. And so, what do we take away from this? Well, as children of God, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have everything we need for life and godliness. He's not holding out.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.